Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Wings of Neptune, The Story of Naval Aviation by Donald McIntyre, traces how aircraft reshaped sea power, turning oceans into contested airspaces rather than open maneuver rooms for surface fleets. Positioned within the Evolution of Naval Power series, the book frames naval aviation as both a technological breakthrough and an institutional revolution, following the shift from early seaplanes and improvised deck operations to the modern aircraft carrier as a central instrument of strategy. Rather than treating aviation as an add-on to traditional navies, the narrative emphasizes how flight demanded new doctrines, new ship designs, new training systems, and new ways of thinking about deterrence, strike warfare, and fleet. The book connects battlefield lessons with broader forces such as industrial capacity, political priorities, and alliance strategy, showing how maritime air power became decisive across global conflicts and continues to evolve today. Readers can expect a historical arc that highlights key turning points, recurring debates, and the persistent tension between innovation and tradition at sea. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, from seaplanes to deck operations, the birth of naval flight, a core topic is the origin story of naval aviation and why it developed differently from land-based air power. Early experiments with seaplanes, catapults, and makeshift flying platforms revealed both the promise and the limits of operating aircraft over water. The book emphasizes the practical challenges that forced innovation, saltwater corrosion, navigation over featureless seas, unreliable communications, and the need to recover pilots far from shore. These constraints pushed navies to standardize procedures for launch and recovery, develop carrier-compatible airframes, and create specialized support roles that did not exist in Army aviation. Just as important is the cultural hurdle inside navies that were built around battleships and gunnery. Naval aviation had to prove it could contribute to scouting, gunnery spotting, anti-submarine patrol, and fleet screening before it could argue for an offensive role. By following the earliest milestones, the narrative shows how incremental technical improvements combined with operational experimentation to produce a new form of maritime warfare. The result is a picture of aviation's emergence as a naval tool, shaped as much by seamanship and logistics as by aerodynamics. Secondly, the aircraft carrier becomes the fleet's center of gravity. Another major theme is the transition from carriers as auxiliaries to carriers as capital ships. The book explores the logic behind carrier design and task force organization, explaining why carriers needed escorting destroyers and cruisers, underway replenishment, and layered defenses to survive. It also highlights how the carrier's value came from the air wing as a system rather than individual aircraft. Sortie generation, deck cycle management, maintenance capacity, aviation fuel handling, and weapon storage became strategic variables that influenced what navies could do in real conflicts. The narrative connects these operational realities to wider doctrinal change. Scouting and strike missions expanded the fleet's reach, while combat air patrol and airborne early warning evolved to protect high-value units. The carrier's rise also created hard trade-offs in procurement, since building and sustaining carriers demanded industrial depth and long-term political commitment. By presenting carriers as both weapons and institutions, the book shows why naval aviation gradually displaced big gun engagements as the decisive method of projecting maritime power, and why carrier-focused thinking continues to shape modern fleet planning. Thirdly, war at sea from above, strike, reconnaissance, and sea control, the book foregrounds how aircraft changed the essential missions of navies, finding the enemy, controlling sea lines, and destroying targets at sea and ashore. A key topic is the way reconnaissance and targeting evolved, because the ability to locate adversaries over vast oceans determines everything that follows. Naval aviation made scouting faster and more flexible, but also introduced new vulnerabilities, such as the need to protect search aircraft and interpret imperfect reports. Strike warfare is treated as more than dramatic battles. It is a chain that includes intelligence, coordination, timing, and recovery, all of which are harder at sea than on land. The narrative also emphasizes sea control and sea denial roles, including anti-submarine warfare and anti-shipping operations, where aircraft extend the reach of sensors and weapons. By tying together these mission sets, the book shows why air power made naval conflict more dynamic and less predictable. Engagement ranges expanded, decisions compressed, and success depended on integrating pilots, ships, and command staffs into a single operational rhythm. The result is a coherent explanation of how naval aviation became a primary tool for both coercion and protection in maritime strategy. Fourthly, doctrine, training, and the human factor behind maritime air power, beyond technology, the book highlights the organizational and human foundations that make naval aviation effective. Operating aircraft from moving decks demands rigorous training, standardized procedures, and a safety culture that balances risk with readiness. This topic explores how navies built pipelines for pilots and maintainers, created qualifications for deck crews, and developed leadership practices that could manage complex flight operations under combat stress. It also addresses doctrine as a living body of knowledge shaped by exercises, wartime lessons, and inter-service rivalry. Naval aviation often had to justify resources against surface and submarine communities, and these internal debates influenced what missions were prioritized. The narrative shows how innovations like better communications, radar-assisted control, and specialized roles for airborne coordination changed command and control at sea. Equally important is the idea that carrier operations are a team sport. Every launch and recovery is a carefully choreographed event where mistakes can be catastrophic. By focusing on people and process, the book explains why some forces adapted quickly while others struggled, and how professionalism and learning cycles became strategic advantages in sustained maritime competition. Lastly, modern naval aviation, missiles, sensors, and contested oceans, the final major topic is how naval aviation continues to evolve in response to new threats and technologies. The book situates today's carrier and maritime patrol forces within an environment shaped by long-range missiles, integrated air defenses, submarines, cyber and electronic warfare, and persistent surveillance. This context changes how navies think about operating areas, deception, dispersal, and the need for resilient logistics. Modern naval aviation is not only about fighters and strike aircraft, it also includes airborne early warning, electronic attack, refueling, and multi-mission helicopters that extend the fleet's sensing and engagement layers. The narrative underscores the growing importance of networked warfare, where data quality, secure communications, and joint integration can matter as much as platform performance. It also points to ongoing debates about cost, survivability, and force structure, including how navies balance large deck carriers with smaller aviation-capable ships and unmanned systems. By connecting historical patterns of adaptation to current strategic pressures, the book frames naval aviation as an evolving answer to the timeless maritime problem of finding, fixing, and influencing an adversary across vast distances. In conclusion, this book suits readers who want a clear historical through line from early maritime flying experiments to the carrier era and today's contested ocean environment. It is especially valuable for military history fans, naval professionals, aviation enthusiasts, and strategy-minded readers who want to understand why air power at sea is not merely aircraft operating near water, but a distinct discipline with its own constraints and strengths. The practical benefit is perspective. It helps readers see how technology, doctrine, training, and industrial capacity interact, which in turn sharpens how one interprets modern headlines about carriers, maritime patrol, deterrence, and regional flashpoints. Compared with similar naval aviation overviews that focus narrowly on famous battles or a single navy, this book's series framing encourages a broader view of naval power as an evolving system. That wider lens makes the story more useful for understanding long-term trends, not just individual moments. If you want a coherent narrative that links innovation to real operational demands and strategic outcomes, this book is worth buying as a compact guide to how naval aviation became central to modern sea power and why it remains pivotal now. If you would like to support Donald McIntyre, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.